For the last number of weeks, we've been looking at a parallel of Solomon's temple built 500 years before Christ, more actually, I don't have my dates right in front of me, and the temple that is the Holy Spirit built in our lives today. And we've been going back and forth between 1 Chronicles and 1 Corinthians, 2 Chronicles and Romans, and moving back and forth to see one really important thing. God never changes. That through the ages, it's the same God. That through the ages, His message and His love and care and devotion to His people has not changed. He is the same God. And though our world changes and our circumstances changes and the way that we need Him even in our lives changes and transforms, God is consistent and solid. And so we're going to continue that today by looking. Last week we looked at the things that God provides, the spiritual gifts, the spiritual tools and empowerments that He provides so that we're able to do the job He's called us to do. But today, I want to look at the people themselves, the people that had the giftings, that had the jobs to do. And I want to turn it in a little on ourselves to see not just what's out there and what is God doing, but how are we to get involved with that? How does it hit us? How are we impacted in that? And so if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to, of course, 1 Chronicles. We're going to be at the end of 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and 29 and then the beginning of 2 Chronicles. And I'm just going to, again, pull out key passages that kind of focus on this one area. At the end of 1 Chronicles chapter 28, David, encouraging Solomon, says these words. This is verse 21. The various divisions of the priests and Levites will serve in the temple of God. Others with skills of every kind will volunteer, and the officials of and the entire nation are at your command. He really covers all the bases there, doesn't he? But it goes on. David says to all of the people there, this is an enormous task. You wouldn't believe the amount of the difficulty that this is going to be, because he says it in the beginning of chapter 29. He says, my son Solomon is still young and inexperienced, and the work ahead of him is enormous. He's not just building another building. It's for the worship of the Lord God himself. So using every resource at my command, I've gathered as much as I could. And he goes through the list. And then you know what he does? He invites other people to join him. And then in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, starting in verse 6, he says, the family leaders, the leaders of the tribes of Israel, the generals, the captains of the army, the king's administrative officials, all gave willingly for the construction of the temple. And he goes through the list of the gold and coins and silver and bronze and iron. He says they also contributed numerous precious stones which were deposited in the treasury, which had to be overseen by Jehiel, which was a descendant of Gershon. You see how the individuals, the people matter in this. It's not just God doing it. It's God involving the people to do it, according to what he'd set out. But he goes on, and he says in verse 9, the people rejoiced over the offerings, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord, and King David was filled with joy. When it comes time to actually build the temple, in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 1, it says, Solomon decides then to build the temple. The time had come to honor the name of the Lord. And to do this, he enlisted a force of 70,000 laborers. Now, I want you to put these numbers in your mind for a second. 70,000 laborers, 80,000 men to quarry stone in the hill country, and 3,600 foremen. I'm not great at math. I'll just tell you. 8 and 7, that's like 15, right? So this is 150 plus thousand people to do those jobs. Let me boil all this down. What it boils down to is that each person is given a job to do. For some people, they are asked to finance the project. For other people, they are asked to supply out of the things that they have. Other people are asked to give their skills and their talents. Others are asked to lead various groups. Others are to direct different parts of the project. We watched this week. We decided to finish. We'd been watching this over a number of months here. We've been watching the Lord of the Rings trilogy. We got to the end of the movie and Amy and I didn't feel like getting up, so we just kind of sat there and we watched the credits at the end of the movie. The music's good anyway. Have you ever watched the credits at the end of a movie like that? They're extensive. It is amazing the amount of people it takes to make a movie. It takes a lot of people. And you know, we think about movies, we think about the director, we think about the famous actors, we think about the people that are out front. But it's cameramen, it's people that build the sets, it's people that operate the different things, it's the helpers for them. It's the chief that does this, the person that brings in the food and caters it every day. It's the person that scouts the location or chooses who's going to be the best person to fill that role or who tests all the different extras that are going to be in there. It is an army of people to be able to make a movie. And it takes a lot of people to build a temple. Whether you're building a temple physically, like Solomon was building, or whether you're building a spiritual temple like we've been talking about today, each person has a role to play. Each person has been given, and we're going to see chosen, a job to do, chosen for a job, put together in such a way that they can accomplish the task that God has set before them. That's the purpose of the spiritual gifts. What was the line that I said? If you didn't get anything else out of this series, I want you to remember this one thing. Whatever God calls us to, He equips us for. Can we just say that together? Whatever God calls us to, He equips us for. Now I want you to personalize it. Whatever God has called me to, He has equipped me for. You see, the spiritual gifts are the equipping for the task, but they aren't meant to be used independent of the context of the church. They're meant to be used in conjunction with a spiritual community, otherwise known as the church. Now, I told you we're doing a lot of parallel between the Old and the New Testament. So you can see there is nothing new under the sun. It's the same God working in the same way. He's just doing a work that's spiritual instead of a work that is physical. It is the same work. It's the same God. It's the same worship. Take a look with me in the book of Romans this time, in chapter 12. And we're going to be looking in verses 4 through 8. In Romans chapter 12, verse 4, Paul writes that each one of us has a body. Raise your hand if you have a body. There we go. Each one of us has a body with many parts. All of these parts have different uses. We're good so far. In the same way, we are many, but in Christ, we are all one body. So what are we? We are the many parts of the spiritual body. each one of us is the many parts of the spiritual body, the way that we are a body and we have many parts. So we are all individually functioning as parts of the spiritual body. Each one is a part of that body, each of you. And each part belongs to all the other parts. Translation, we belong together. We need each other. More than that, we are chosen and put together. I want you to hear this. I love this phrase in 1 Corinthians. And you don't have to turn there because it's just one verse. 1 Corinthians 18, or 12, verse 18. Paul says, our bodies have many parts, and God put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would it be if it only had one part? You see, God doesn't just say, well, we'll just mix it up and see what happens. He mixes it up all right. But it's very much like the ingredients that go into making something, making a cake or making a stew or making an omelet. All of these are very different things, but they have very specific ingredients that work together and have to be put together in just the right way. And if you don't put them in the right way, it doesn't work right. And you don't put all the ingredients in this one way and hope it's going to turn into one thing and all these other and think it's going to be something different. The ingredients are all meshed together for a purpose, to make a specific thing. And so I'm going to keep going in this, but I want you to think about that it's not just we're all part of the body, we all have individual things, but we're all put together for the purpose and a function. Verse 6, we all have different gifts, each of which came because of the grace or the blessing that God gave us. We all have different gifts. Raise your hand if you're part of all. If you have given your life to Christ, does not make any difference whether you gave your life to Christ yesterday or you've been a believer for 50 years or more. It doesn't matter if you're 5 years old or if you're 99, 100 years old. All of us have a spiritual gift, maybe more. And all of those gifts are meant to work in combination with one another in the body of Christ. We are all here because we have something to contribute. God has brought us together as a spiritual community. Now listen to where Paul goes with this. He says the person who has the gift of prophecy should use that gift in agreement with faith. Anyone who has the gift of serving should serve. Anyone who has the gift of teaching should teach. There's a theme running here. Whoever has the gift of encouraging others should encourage. The gift of giving should give. Anyone who has the gift of being a leader should try hard when they lead. And whoever has the gift of showing mercy should do so with joy. Let's break that part down. What does it mean? When you discover your gifts, guess what you're supposed to do? Use them. When you discover your gifts, you're supposed to use them, right? That's the reason. You remember last week I told you if somebody puts a tool in your hand, what do you imagine they want you to do with that tool? Use it. Nobody brings you a hammer and just expects you to take it and go, well, that's very nice, and set it down. They want you to hit something. Nobody brings you cleaner and expects you to just go make dinner. They bought you cleaner because something needs to be cleaned. You've been given a gift. It's meant to be used. But that leaves us with kind of an open place, which is, how do we know what our gifts are? And how do we learn to use them? Now, I realize many of you have probably done spiritual gift tests over the years. They are everything from the simplest to the most extensive 250 questions that'll define your spiritual gifts into one of 77 categories, and they're so extensive. I get it. You've probably done these. You all probably know your spiritual gifts. That's not really the point of what I want to do here. If you've never discovered it, I want to invite you to think about it. But if you have discovered it, what I really want us to understand is not exactly what our gift is necessarily, but to see how it works in conjunction with everybody else. To see how God has brought us together, not as a strange body that only has one part, but as a body with many parts, with a different function. So I'm going to ask you, I'm going to go through a super easy spiritual gift thing. If you agree with this statement, I just want you to raise your hand and then you can put it down again. I don't care if you put your hand up for all of them. This isn't judgment. You can have more than one. Okay? Here we go. We'll learn this as we go along. You love to help other people any way you can, even if you don't get credit for it. You know what that is? It's the gift of service. Number two, when you pray, you know God talks to you, even telling you things that you want to tell other people. If that's you, raise your hand. When you pray, God gives you words to tell other people. If that's you, your gift is prophecy. When you read the Bible, it just makes sense. People say you've got common sense. You have the gift of wisdom. In your heart, you know God will always come through. You have no doubts that He answers your prayers. Gift of faith, confidence, and trust in God. You pray for people and they get better. Has that ever happened? If that's you, you have the gift of healing. Number six, you can tell when someone doesn't understand something, and you can put it in a way that makes it make sense to that person. Gift of teaching. You don't make a big deal out of other people's mistakes. Gift of mercy, compassion on other people. You've seen God do amazing things through you. That's you. It's miraculous powers. Amazing abilities that, I mean, we've read about those in the Bible. That's the same Holy Spirit doing those same things now. You feel comfortable being in charge. Your friends want to know what you think before they do something. If that's you, you have the gift of leadership. You give freely of everything you have to best friends and to strangers alike. Gift of giving. People tell you you're smart. You seem to have the right answers when other people just aren't sure. Gift of knowledge. You don't hold grudges. When people say they're sorry, you forget they ever hurt you and you just don't bring it up again. Gift of forgiveness, grace, and charity. You know what's right and wrong. You know what's true and what's false. Gift of discernment. Finally, you love encouraging others. You praise others and congratulate people who get awards and recognition. That's you. That's gift is exhortation, which is encouraging and advocating for other people. Okay, now comes the fun part. Take a look around. What do you notice? Everybody has their hand raised. Why? Because God put us together as a team. Because we are better together. Each one is a part of that body, and each part belongs to all the other parts. How strange a body would be if it was only made up of one part. But God has put us each just where He wants us. Why? So He can accomplish what He wants to do in our lives. Now, knowing your spiritual gift is the starting point, but then what do you have to do? You've got to start using it. Because you may say, somebody gave me this hammer. But if you don't know how to use a hammer, it's not much use to you. So you start using the hammer. And guess what happens? You're going to miss it a few times. I can't even imagine how many times I smashed my fingers trying to use a hammer the first time. Did you ever smash your finger with a hammer? I bet you did. You know what? Sometimes you're going to use your gift. It's not going to work. You're going to say something. It's not going to be the right thing, or it's going to, you're just going to, it's going to mess up sometimes. And you know what? That's fine. You know why? Because God is gracious. Because God loves his children. But the only way that we get good at these gifts is by learning to use them, is by starting to use them. And in this church, we need you. Right? We don't want you to just attend church. Attendance is a passive thing. I showed up, I sat down, here I am. We want you to participate. To the degree that you feel empowered and comfortable, we want you to participate. Right? The motto of the Vineyard, everyone gets to play. From the start, that was our founder, John Wimber's, that was his prayer. When do we get to do the stuff? Why? Because it's not the special anointed people who are way up and have all of the stuff and all of the lauds of everything. That it's the regular people. Everybody gets to play. Everybody is given a job to do. Everybody has a role. That's how it works in a community. And in the community, no one's role is any important than any other role. In that movie, who do we pay attention to the most? Director and the actors. But guess what? You don't have set designers? You got a terrible movie. You don't have somebody that writes the script? It doesn't work. What if your actors don't have any food? What if nobody's there to provide the trailers for them, or to do the makeup, or to do the hair, or to do all of this stuff? Right? Yes, there are some more jobs that are more prominent that people are going to see. That's not the point. The point is everyone has an important role to play, and each role is needed. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. This is Apollos and Paul. Or it's Paul writing, but he's talking about himself and Apollos, two workers together in the Corinthian church. He tells the Corinthians that each of us did the work that the Lord gave us to do. Sounds fair? He says, my job was to plant the seed in your hearts. Apollos's job was to water that seed. But it was God, not us, who made it grow. The ones who do the planting or the watering, they aren't the important ones. God is the one who's important, because God is the one that makes the seed grow. Do you get it? Just remember, we've been given all of these gifts and all of these wonderful things, but we're not the thing. God's the thing. Now, I told you the parallels, right? Listen to David's words to Solomon and to the people at the prayer after they've anointed Solomon and they're getting ready to start this project. Listen to his prayer. Our God, this is in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I? Who are we that we could give anything to you? Everything we have comes from you. We give you only what was already given to us. We're only here for a moment, visitors and strangers in the land of our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow, gone so soon without even a trace. O Lord our God, even the materials that we've gathered to build a temple to honor your name come from you. It all belongs to you. Do you hear it? The one who does the planting and the watering aren't important. It's God who's important. Paul continues and he says, the one who plants and the one who waters, they work as a team with the same purpose in mind. Now let me ask you, what is the purpose for the people that doing this work? It's to create an environment where the seed will grow and where the seed will thrive. It's to create an environment where God can do what he does. With all of my might, I can't make a seed grow out of the ground. I can think about it. I can wish it would happen. I can look hard at it and go up every day. But I can't make that seed grow. And so what God calls us to is to use our gifts, to use the things he's given us to work together, to build, to water, to plant, so that things can begin to grow. What are Paul and Apollos watering and planting? The gospel, sowing the good news into people's lives. What is God growing? Well, he's growing the complement to the spiritual gifts, known as the fruits of the Spirit. You see, we plant the seed, the good news. When you receive it, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. And then what does the Holy Spirit start to do? Well, he empowers you. But then what does he do? He begins to work the fruits of the Spirit into your life. The fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What do the fruits of the Spirit have to do with the spiritual gifts? I'm glad you asked. You see, spiritual gifts are tools, right? They're the tools that are provided for us to accomplish a certain job. You know what the fruits of the Spirit are? They're the measurement of how we're doing with those. They're the benchmark of our progress. We can look and say, boy, I'm sure using my gifts to do all of these things. But what does the Spirit say? How are you doing with your love, with your joy? How's your patience these days? You see, these things are meant to be in conjunction. They're kind of like a spiritual blueprint for a house. The worker has to constantly be going back to the blueprint and saying, whoa, got off the line a little bit. We need to go back and pull that back into square. We've got to replumb all of this. We've got to get it so that it looks like the blueprint. What's the blueprint? The people of God are going to be defined by their fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Paul goes on to what in there, and he just kind of continues this same theme, saying, if anyone thinks he's important, when he's really not, he's just fooling himself. Everyone should judge his own actions and not compare himself with other people. Then he can be proud for what he himself has done. Each person must be responsible for himself. Listen to the rest of 1 Corinthians 3:5. Each person, the one who plants, the one who waters, work as a team with the same purpose, but they will be rewarded individually according to their own hard work. We together, as partners, we work together as partners who belong to God. You are God's field. You are God's building, not ours. So where do we go from here? God has given us each gifts that are meant to complement, to coalesce, to work with one another. To do what? To grow the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. To bring in other people. To draw other people to Christ, who will in turn contribute their gifts that the Holy Spirit gives them to grow the fruit of the Spirit in their lives. We want to create an environment in this church where you can use and grow your gifts. We want to create an environment here where you can fulfill the role that God has given you. So I would encourage you, get to know your gifts. Get to know what God has supernaturally given you. And then get to know other people's gifts. We have an opportunity here to thrive in this place. We have an opportunity in the kingdom of God to thrive, to grow, to work alongside with our Creator, who never ever intended for us to just sit and enjoy the life on its own, even with Adam and Eve, He gave him a job to do. We have an opportunity to thrive, not just to visit a church, not just to attend a service, but to fully function and operate in the gifts that God has equipped us with for the task that he has called us to love one another and to proclaim the good news to all the world. May I pray for you? So, Father God, as we conclude our time together in our service, Lord, I pray that each person would know how much you love them, that each person would then begin to recognize the gifts that you've given them. I pray that you would then begin to give them opportunities to use and to practice those gifts, and just continue to encourage each one of us, God. We love you. We thank you. I pray your blessings on your people. In Jesus' holy name.